In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a joy and a privilege it is for me to step for these brief moments once again into the life and framework of the seminary. That text is a very special one to me because it probably was the hallmark of some of the most important learning in my life and ministry. The time is still fixed in my mind. It was the spring of 1962. I was finishing my vicarage at Our Savior Congregation in Aurora, Illinois. A friend dropped by, a member of that congregation who was a year ahead of me at school. He had just come from placement service. He was brimming over with the good news of his placement. And I remember he said, "Bill, I got to talk to you." He said, "I want you to know I'm placed by the Board of Assignments to start a new mission on the East Coast." It was New Jersey. He said, "I want to tell you why I picked that." He said, "I decided that I wanted to start something from scratch. I decided that the best way I could possibly learn my strengths and my weaknesses was to build something from the beginning and then find out what I was all about and what I could do. I didn't want somebody looking over my shoulder comparing me to Pastor such and such for 5 years or so and so for 20 years. And I listened to my friend and I thought, sounds pretty good. I think it said something about my own maturity or lack thereof. I think it said something about my sense of insecurity and in looking at ministry. But I thought, sounds good. Start from scratch. No memories of other pastors around you for comparison. Nobody could say, well, so-and-so did it this way. I would be the first pastor. I would start from scratch. I would learn my strengths. I would learn my weaknesses. I could go on from there and build. Really interesting thinking. Stayed with me. And then I remember some months later, I was in my pre-placement interview with the dean, whose picture hangs on the wall in the corridor. And I said, I think I'd really like to start a new mission. I did not explain my rationale. It's probably a good thing. And the Lord gave me my wish. It was wonderful. I did learn some things. I did learn my mistakes and weaknesses very, very quickly, no question about it. And I began to look for strengths that I didn't have and tried to struggle as to just where could I do them. I was assigned to begin a new mission in the fall of 1963 in Mobile, Alabama, a very nice, placid place, unless you like the Ku Klux Klan. It was a wonderful joy in ministry. I began that new mission by the grace of God. I found out how quickly I did not fully understand 1 Corinthians 3. There was no such thing as being the first pastor. Oh, I was the first pastor of that congregation as we began services. And I was the first pastor under the name Our Savior Lutheran Church, as we became known once we shed the Highway 90 Southwest Mission tag that the Mission Board had given us to start with. But almost everybody whom the Lord gathered there by His Spirit had some recollection. Only a few came from non-church sources. Wonderful that they did. So many came from Lutheran churches, and they had all kinds of memories. I was compared constantly. I learned to love the comparisons. I learned to learn from what people said about the way Pastor so-and-so did it, Pastor Schwarzwald did it, Pastor Schmidt did it. And I learned some of the truths because of what was happening for me. I, who thought it would be best to do a solo act, found out it's best to line up with your watering can in hand and get about planting and watering as one of many waters. Waterers, you could almost say water boys. I really began to understand the meaning of that text. There had been a lot of wonderful planting going on in the lives of some people. Some of it even happened in other church bodies. They came to us, and through adult instruction, I had a chance to plant some new seeds, and the watering happened. And of course, the most wonderful thing, God gave the increase. I was privileged to water. I was privileged to plant over and over and over and over again. I was privileged to touch lives with word and sacrament, to baptize young and old, to plant that seed of faith by the Spirit's blessing, and see people grow in faith, see God give the increase. The joy of this text is not what it says about Paul or Apollos, not what I thought it said about Bill or anyone I might work with. The joy and the power of the text is what it says about our God. God gives the increase. It's his business. It's his enterprise. It's his undertaking. My concerns about making mistakes in private were focused on me. My worries about comparisons were focused on my very unfinished pastoral skills at that point. Paul's concern, so clear. What is Paul? What is Apollos? Only servants. I planted, Apollos watered, God made it grow. God makes it grow. That's the humbling message of ministry. The incredible part of ministry implied in this text also is that God does use us. Not just as mere water boys, although I kind of like the simile and I like the metaphor. People continually pouring life-giving water, continually planting and watering and giving life by the wonderful power God gives. But God promises to use us as his people. He calls us as his people in faith and calls us as people of faith to function as the faithful. Equips us with gifts. I particularly, in the wonderful work that I'm now involved in as president, get to be at a lot of installations and ordination, so Ephesians 4 becomes a wonderful text for me, and that message is so powerful. God gives us gifts for ministry, and he gives us as gifts. It was some who gave gifts, and the gifts are listed, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. God uses us as gifts to plant, to water, to plant, and to water. To plant and to water, to get done what he wants done in his kingdom, to get done what he wants done in his world through the powerful instrument of his church. And he gives the increase, he gives the growth, he makes it happen, his enterprise, his business, his design, his undertaking. You need to know that church in Mobile celebrated its 35th anniversary. Says some alarming things about my age, I suppose. But it says most important, wonderful things about the grace of God. God did use me to water some of the things others had planted, some of the faith and nurture and growth life there. And God did use others after me in that parish to water what I, by the Spirit, had been privileged to plant in the hearts and the minds and the faith of young and old alike. And God made it all grow, and it's 35 years and counting. It's a wonderful, wonderful text and ministry to draw us to our role and God's blessing. Also important to hear that last verse, that verse 10. By the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. That phrase to me is powerful. Each one should be careful how he builds. I think they're critical words about ministry. It is God's enterprise. It is God's business. There's no question that he's the one who makes it grow. There's no question when there's growth and increase, it's been the blessing of God. No question. But that's no reason for me to be anything but the absolute most careful builder. Most careful builder. Most careful user of the tools and the talents and the abilities and the gifts God has given. Be careful how we go about the task. Is another way of saying it. One of the joys of my time here is to see the careful building going on among you. I've been privileged to meet from time to time with faculty. You have great gifts in that faculty. They build with great care. Do you sense their heart for the gospel? You sense their care for the people of God. You sense their care for all people in all places. Do you catch their sense of joy in ministry? Do you see the vision? Can you begin to grasp the mission they love, they work for, they yearn for, they build carefully for in you, even as they become instruments to prepare you for the blessed work of ministry? It has really been a joy to spend these days. I've been in just a few classes, really, not enough to amount to any credit, and I've met 40 or 50 of you by name, and please don't give me a test before I leave, although those of you in Northern Illinois could have higher expectations because I've got your name circled at least. And I met a number of the faculty, but not all. But I have to tell you, what I see so wonderfully clearly is the careful building by faculty and staff as they teach and lead. Careful building is what I watched among you as seminarians in classrooms as you were moved into a discussion and challenged to talk about sensitive issues of pastoral discretion and pastoral judgments that are not either or, but always somewhere mercifully in between. And what a joy. My prayer is that God would continue to bless the wonderful, careful building going on here. Building and shaping of men who will be spread all over the world, all over the church, and by the grace of God, maybe some of you will join us in Northern Illinois. Tomorrow, my ministry goes back to normal, or as normal as it gets in a district president's office. I'll be in a staff meeting all day. We'll begin at 9:30 and we'll go to about 4 o'clock. Now, that's a good thing. You see, it's a wonderful day because for the first time we'll have the whole staff together. We filled our last vacancy, so it's a day I've looked for ever since I began the office 18 months ago. We'll meet in the boardroom of our district office. And because of this text, because of looking at these words again so closely, that day, all day long in that boardroom, will have a special meaning for me. Because on one wall of that board of directors room, there are 10 portraits, embarrassingly large. The portraits of the 10 presidents, past and present, of the Northern Illinois District. You see, it's a visual reminder to me, as one called to be leader in that position, of the planting and the watering that has gone on before. It's a visual, stirring reminder to me of the watering and the planting God has yet in store. If you walk down the corridor of Leah Hall lately, you have that same kind of wonderful visual reminder of this text. They're all lined up there. Many of them were my profs at the Springfield Seminary in the late 50s and early 60s. There's a message there. There's been planting and watering that's gone on faithfully by the men of God whose pictures are there on that wall and whose wonderful portraits hang there for the whole world to see. Men of God who shaped and touched the lives of men like myself, planted seeds in me that by the grace of God have been able to grow, and even by the grace of God become useful in the church. What a visual message to you all, faculty, administration, seminarians alike. God gives gifts. Those gifts plant and water, and there is planting and watering to do here that you might, by His grace, go out there and plant and water and water and plant. God grant you His strength. God grant you His blessings. God grant you continued blessings as the gifts you are to the church now, and the gifts you will continue to be by His grace in the future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.